306 here on The Fan in New York City. Evan and Tiki, Lugia Lightning, Tommy and Tiki, 888-808-1019. We discussed it before the break, but if you're just getting in your car now, if you're just tuning in, Drew Lock is dealing with a bad bone contusion, a strained oblique from last night's preseason game. He's dealing with both of them. This is according to Ian Rappaport. He's expected to miss some time, which is ambiguous. That could be a couple weeks, a couple months. That could be a year. Who knows? That's very ambiguous. No surgery is required. And Brian Daboll said the Giants could potentially add another quarterback with Lock sideline. Now, the idea by adding a quarterback, Teague, I think you would agree with this, is that Daniel Jones, they're not putting him on the field in the preseason. They're not going to do that. So obviously Tommy DeVito will start now, and whoever they bring in will back up because they don't want to get Daniel Jones hurt. So you bring in somebody to be a guy that, you know, plays in the preseason. And if Lock only misses a couple of weeks, you go back to the quarterback room you have.
Yeah, the camp arm, they call him. But, I mean, this is a great opportunity for your guy, for Tommy DeVito.
Sure is.
To show something and to prove himself. In this preseason, because if they stay true to what they've said about Daniel Jones not playing in the preseason, then Tommy's going to play a lot.
Sure, yep.
And he should play a lot, because there's a lot to see with him, and it's still a lot to figure out with him and his skill set and the growth. It's interesting when you listen to him talk. I was reading an article about Dave's play calling and how. I forget who put this out, who was evaluating this, but they were talking about how he was going through this new process and how he managed the game while also calling the plays. Like, so he's looking at his play sheet and but still was able aware of when to call timeouts, and he'd only miss a couple of defensive plays. And it was interesting. But one of the people who commented in the article was Tommy DeVito. And he's talking like, yeah, Dave's is really good at, you know, getting back to us. It's almost like he's starting talking like the starter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the expert on Dave's being the play caller. But let's be fair. Tommy DeVito has been the quarterback when Dave's been the play caller. Daniel Jones has not.
No.
Right?
No. DeVito's the most comfortable out of anybody.
Right.
Yes.
Especially because he's got that confidence, but he's experiencing Dave's now learning how to be the play caller for the Giants. Not that he's learning how to be. He's always been a play caller. He just didn't do it his first 2 years here. So I think it's interesting that Tommy's like the example that needed. Dan Duncan did the
article. Oh, nice. Yeah, nice.
The expert that they're, from the player's perspective, they're asking is not Daniel Jones, it's Tommy DeVito.
Absolutely, he's an expert, and that's why Tommy DeVito needs to be the starter in week one. I came out of the show saying that. You can go back on the Odyssey Rewind app, it's free, and listen to it. But if you don't want to do that, I'll just repeat myself. Tommy DeVito should start in week one. This is before we got the Drew Lock news. Now we got the Drew Lock news. Tommy DeVito has a chance to earn it here in the preseason. I believe he earned it last year before they basically said, Tommy DeVito mania, we want nothing to do with this. Tommy DeVito should be the starter in week one. Lock's going to miss some time here. He looked awful anyway. Daniel Jones, is Daniel Jones even going to be ready for week one? We still don't even really even know that. If that's the case, Jones, we know coming off an injury, how is he going to look? Tiki just alluded to the fact that Tommy DeVito knows this offense better than anybody else. He's comfortable in this offense. And he already went through what a lot of people and athletes never get a chance to go through, and that's being an overnight sensation. This guy went from Tommy DeVito, he was Willie Beeman, right? Basically, if you've seen Any Given Sunday, that's who Tommy DeVito was. We got the late, great Jim Brown, right? Jim, I don't want to pull Ted Turner here, right? Jim no longer with us. He says in the movie, we got a third string quarterback that ain't going to produce blank, right? And that was Willie Beeman. And then, of course, Willie Beeman, he's steaming. He was great. He had the music video with the gadunkadunks and everything going on there. And the best. I mean, Willie Beeman is the best. One of the best movie characters.
One of the great characters ever.
Shout out to Willie Beeman. So that was what Tommy DeVito was, an overnight sensation. So Tiki's already dealt with the craziness of that, and he lived through it, and now I think you even get a more mature, I'm not saying he was immature, but you're getting a more polished Tommy DeVito here in the second go around. The fans love him. It's a great story. He's comfortable with the offense. I think Tommy DeVito should be the starter for the Giants week one.
That's not happening. I know you think it's going to happen, and I know you're calling for it, but unless something happens to Daniel Jones, Tommy DeVito, at best, is going to be the backup. And it's, I mean, that's, I think, honestly, Tommy's probably okay with that. Hey, he just wants the opportunity to be in the conversation. You know, should something go awry, he just wants to be in the conversation. And I think the bringing in of Drew Lock this offseason, it kind of took him out of the conversation a little bit. In fact, they had another quarterback, I forget who it was, on the roster before the training camp started. So it was almost like, we know we need depth here,
yeah,
and we know we need options. And yeah, Tommy had an okay year last mm-hmm. year, but he's not part of the conversation. Now he's got to be in the conversation, and he's going to play a lot,
no doubt,
especially if Drew Lock is hurt. And this, look, all you can ask for is opportunity. It may never be perfect. It may not be exactly what you wanted, but you better be ready for it, because if you're not, it might not come again. So, Tommy, be ready for it. It's now.
Yeah, and I think sports, the universe, it is undefeated. And there's just something about sports sometimes where something just is like meant to be. And I just think Tommy DeVito getting back out there, MetLife Stadium, it is just meant to be. As much as the Giants want to bench him last year, they want to make him the third string quarterback, they want to put him to the side, the universe will not allow it. The Tommy DeVito mania is stronger than the Giants sort of keeping him to the side here. We're going to see him in the preseason. If Locke is out for an extended period of time, he's going to be at bare minimum the backup. On my depth chart, he's one. Now, I'm not the coach of the team. On Brian Daboll's depth chart, he's two. But why do we even have the preseason then? If Tommy DeVito goes out there and is great and plays really, really well, to me, Teak, he earns the job. That's how I look at it. If he's playing, if he's number one, if he's connecting with Malik Nabers and he's doing awesome, then why even bother doing any of this stuff? Because you're seeing a guy develop in front of our eyes here and win the quarterback position. If he does that, give it to him. That's how I look at it.
No chance it's happening, but I like your argument.
Dare to dream.
I like the fact that you're going to continue to argue it, even though it's never going to happen.
Tommy DeVito will ultimately start games for the Giants this year. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Now, Tiki, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to set this call up. And we will get into the Mets in a little bit. Positive Tommy, of course, has been undefeated this week. I've been undefeated for months. Never been beaten. Never even been tied. A lot of forfeits, too. People just don't even want to go up against Positive Tommy. The No Fun Police has tried, Tiki. And now there's a new police, actually, that I've come up with is the You Can't Lose to Bad Teams Police. Because I heard from You yeah. Can't Lose to Bad Teams. Guess what? There's 162 games. So at some point, you lose to bad teams. And then guess what? You could beat good teams.
Yeah.
It's just baseball. It's very long.
I gotta tell you, the Angels aren't quitting.
Look how they look this week, by the way.
Right.
Met fans, the Yankees, they just split with the Yankees, right? 2-2. So it doesn't even make the Mets losses seem as bad. So we have a caller here, and I believe this is the same fella that called me. I think it was with me and you, Teak. They called us earlier in the week, and this caller claims that the only reason Francisco Lindor is hitting, and I think he's in the MVP conversation, the only reason Francisco, because you know the Lindor haters, yep, they always move the goalposts. He believes the only reason Lindor is hitting is because there is no pressure batting leadoff. That was his stake. Oh, there's no pressure. There's no pressure. And I screamed, well, he only leads off once, and that's to start the game or whatever, in the bottom of the first inning. He came up in a pressure spot the other night against Colorado. A lot of people say must win, Positive Tommy. There are no must wins. Win every game.
Yeah,
every
but it was must win.
Well, I didn't think it was a must win. But
it was, though.
A lot of people did, and he came up in a big spot, and he delivered. And to me, that was a perfect example. And Positive Tommy, of course, was vindicated in that spot because Lindor came up with it. Now, this might not be the caller. And in that case, this was just a brilliant setup and it'll go over like a fart in church. But I'm pretty sure this is the guy. Let's go out to Matt and Clifton. What's up, Matty?
What's up, Matt?
Yes, you are correct. This is the caller.
All right, Matt.
What up, Matt?
Hey, Tommy, I want this acknowledged. I don't just call when the Mets lose. I also call when they win. I could call Monday when they lose 2 out of 3 in Seattle, but I call today, okay? I want that acknowledged.
Well, Matt, you know what the other thing is, bro? Because I didn't realize, I've seen you on Twitter a lot, and I've heard you call the station, but I didn't know you were the same guy. I got to be honest with you, bro. I'm not even sure if you... I don't even mean this disrespectfully. Are you a Met fan or not? I don't mean that. I know
no,
that comes off.
Of course. Are you serious? I'm a Mets hater. I'm a Yankee fan. Are you serious?
So, yeah. Okay, and that's fine. You're allowed
He did say that last time.
He did? All right.
Yes.
So you're allowed to be that way, which is totally fine, but I just wanted that on the record, and you put it on the record last time. I apologize for that, because I'm like, man, this guy takes shots at the Mets all the time. By the way, the fact that I have to ask you that just tells you how the Met fan base is, that I couldn't distinguish whether you were a Yankee fan or a Met fan, because Met fans have been so damn negative forever, and that's why Positive Tommy exists. All right, Matt, the floor is yours now. What do you
that's
got?
Very fair. That's very fair that you weren't sure because how crazy Mets fans are. All right. I actually have a question for Tiki here.
All right.
We'll roll in some of the things that I've said. So let's do an asinine assessment, because that's what Tommy called my comments. He called them about Lindor asinine.
Yes.
Yep. Let's do an asinine assessment. Okay, three ideas.
Three.
One is Severino gets moved to the bullpen. Wonder whose idea that was. The other one is Tommy DeVito starts one. Is that asinine? And the third one is it's kind of weak. Now, Tiki, I want you to rank them.
All right,
it's kind of weak that Lindor had to get moved to the leadoff spot. Rank those three things.
Is it? What you mean? Which one is the worst?
Which idea? Because I think Tommy stretched my words a little bit.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, it's
of course,
weak
that's Tommy,
that your superstar player had to get moved to the leadoff spot because he couldn't handle the 3-4 spot. Which idea is the most asinine out of those three?
Probably Tommy DeVito starting over Daniel Jones. I was gonna say.
I agree. You know what? Tommy DeVito starting over Daniel Jones is like. It would be like if your main other guy, I think his name is Evan, was out for a couple of days, and you have the backup, Tommy, generational talent,
come in. I'm not a backup, but I have a show on the Fan Monday through Friday, the Lou Gower at 6:30. Only me and Mike Francesa have held that slot down, so I am a host here, too, as well. You can hear me on the weekends.
Tommy,
I love the way
I love you.
I love the way your mind thinks, Matt. I love it.
Matt, let me ask you this. Matt, let me ask you this, though. Are you here to apologize, though? Because Lindor came up in a big spot, in a big moment, at the leadoff spot, pressure on, and he delivered. Did he not?
He did. Now, listen.
Okay.
Every single batter who's worth anything in the major leagues, when they come up with the bases loaded, one out, no outs, every single batter in the history of baseball is a better hitter. If you hit a fly ball to center field with the bases loaded, nobody out, it's 0-for-0 with an RBI.
Yeah.
So...
No, you're right. And right, you got to pitch to him. Bases are loaded. You have to pitch to him. You have to. You can't say, I'm going to dice around him. And look, Francisco Lindor, whether you want to hate him or love him, he's a good hitter. And if you're going to put the balls in the zone, he's going to hit them.
Thanks for calling,
right?
Matt.
Even before he turned around his season, once he was moved to the leadoff spot in Matt's estimation, like, his expected batting average was, I remember looking at this back at the beginning of the season. It was like 40 points higher than his actual batting average. And so he was hitting the ball hard, and I hate that because it's, you are what you do.
I agree.
And so it's like, he's just been a little unlucky.
The
it's
hard
like,
luck like, they call it's a stupid
right,
analytical
it's like
thing.
The whole Joey Gallo thing for the entire season, two seasons he was here. It's he's hitting the ball hard. Yeah, the shift is killing him. Then they get rid of the shift. Okay, what now?
At some point, you are what you are.
Exactly. At some point, you are what you are. And so at the beginning of the season, Francisco Lindor was what he was. But he has always found ways to become, at some point in the season, and even if he's streaky, a good hitter. With the bases loaded, to Matt's point, and you got to pitch to him, trust me, he's going to hit the ball.
Yes.
So
my thing with Lindor, and I've been like this all season long, is that, and we discussed this a little bit earlier in the week, but there are a lot of Lindor haters, and I appreciate dying on the hill and being a hater, but they move the goalposts. Last year was, he only started hitting when the team was out of it. Now you have haters like this. To be fair, it's a Yankee fan saying, well, he's only hitting because he's in the leadoff spot, which is asinine. By the way, the Severino thing, all I said was you put Severino in the bullpen and you put Buto in the rotation. My reasoning for that, and I love Buto and he's been great out of the bullpen, and I didn't want to move him out of there. Severino has now gotten to a point where he's been shaky in the last couple starts.
Yeah.
I feel like if you move him to the bullpen where he's only got to get 3 to 6 outs, that could help him. That could help him, and Buto's been great. They've stretched him out. Maybe in the rotation he could give them something, because outside of Manaea, outside of Quintana, positive Tommy trusts everybody, but negative Tommy would have told you, it's a little shaky after that. So you had another guy in the rotation, Senga not coming back. That was that spot. I've already said how much I love Tommy DeVito. So that was my point on those things.
You're right about Sevy. Sevy's getting to the point where he's, I don't want to say he's untrustable, but God, I don't feel good about him on any of these.
He's been shaky.
Any of these days.
So I just think a change of scenery. Buto's been great, but I think Sevy can kind of go into the Buto role, and then Buto could go, he's been great 2-3 innings, give him 5 or 6 innings, and he could be good in the starting rotation. Because right now the rotation's top heavy, but when you go past that with Scott being hurt, with Senga being hurt, you shore up the rotation, at least the front end of that, because when you get to the postseason, you go 3-4. You're not going to the fifth starter. So you go those guys, and then Sevy, not even so much the pressure gets taken off him, because there's going to be a lot of pressure back end. It's just the idea that he doesn't have to throw a lot of innings. He only has to throw one inning, two innings, whatever the case may be. So I think the change of scenery, sort of, it is Friday, a freaky Friday where they change spots, I think would do both well. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Ray's in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
Gentlemen, Loogie, what's good? Tiki, what it is?
All good.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I wonder if any of the Yankees have texted Luis Severino and said, hey, you guys only have two pitchers. Number one, Sean. Number two, Manaea.
One pitcher.
That's funny. Yeah, because come on, ever since he said that,
right,
he's been horrific. Yeah. I mean,
that's why you don't put stuff like that out into the sports sphere.
Exactly. But I'm so happy that he did. I'm so happy that he's been horrific ever since. But anyway, I called about the Giants. Loogie, I don't know if you're campaigning during this election season.
It is an election season, yes.
To have Tommy DeVito as a starter because you're bugging. Listen, if Brian Daboll is taking over the play calling and he's supposed to be this quarterback whisperer, he's got 17 games to get Daniel Jones to get, 30 touchdowns in his rookie season. Daniel Jones started 12 games, played in 13 because he came in relief in one, and he had 30 touchdowns, 24 passing and 5 or 6 rushing, just in 12 starts. So if Brian Daboll is as good as he thinks he is, and he's not the Cowardly Lion anymore, Loogie, then he better get minimum 30 touchdowns out of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones just on another level, talent-wise, and with the right play caller, and opening the field for him, throwing it downfield, like they did in the rookie season. I think he's going to be great this season. So,
yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
Tommy DeVito can be the backup.
Yeah, I tell you, Ray, that's what they're trying to do. You can see it in training camp. They're trying to push the ball downfield. And it's interesting. Who were the receivers in that rookie season? 2019, Saquon was the runner, was the running back, coming off the rookie of the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Who were Daniel Jones' receivers? Because he's
Slayton's
right.
Always a good guess. He's been there longer than furniture. I mean, I love Darius Slayton, but he's been around forever. Daniel Jones has not played with basically any really big-time wide receivers, and that's why I was excited this year with Neighbors, with Hyatt in his second year. So he hasn't really had a great lot of guys around him. Tony came through here, a bunch of other guys. It wasn't really like anything to really get super excited about. Robinson's been around for a minute, Bellinger, stuff like that, but nothing to really get you super-duper excited about from a wide receiver.
Yeah, the leading receiver that year was Sterling Shepard. You're right.
Obviously another guy that was here forever.
Second was Saquon. He had the second most catches. And then Golden Tate. And Evan Ingram. I take that back. Darius Slayton was fourth.
Yeah.
And then Evan Ingram.
Yeah, unfortunately, we had the Giants and Evan Ingram, not the Jaguars Evan Ingram. That would have been nice to have a Pro Bowl tight end that he's become.
Yeah, but you go watch his tape in Jaguars. He runs the same route over and over and over and over.
It's just a
little stop route.
Yeah.
It's like 3 yards downfield. He has the leeway to go left or right, depending on if he's covered or not. And he gets the ball in space because they have good wide receivers outside. So there's space underneath. Evan Ingram has mastered this little check down role.
Yeah. He's totally turned his career around there in Jacksonville. 888-808-1019. Loogie and Lightning. Tommy and Tiki here. Evan and Tiki on the fan. Dan in Garwood, New Jersey. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, Tiki? What's up, Loogie?
All good. What's happening,
so,
Dan?
Loogie, I had to check in with you guys, man, because my man Loogie here is getting abused, and I'm not really liking this. Man.
What am I getting abused with?
Because people are killing you with your take.
The Tommy DeVito thing, and I don't understand it because I just did a stat head comparison. Now, listen, we know obviously Tommy DeVito is a much smaller sample size, but he actually edges out Daniel Jones in quarterback rating if you do a head to head comparison.
Yeah.
So, and to say that this is that far fetched, we just had Big Mac on the show yesterday suggesting that the Yankees should lead off Aaron Judge.
He did suggest that,
and he got mad at me. He didn't like when I questioned him on that either yesterday, but I thought that was a little out of line too, but so I think Louie, I don't think it's that.
I mean, it's funny because I think Evan, Dan, I think Evan he suggested
and
that
also,
once.
He did.
I'm not a big fan of that. I think I don't either.
You're trying to get Judge the most amount of at bats. If he bats lead off, you're hoping he gets 5 at bats. You're trying to put your best hitters at the top of the order.
Which I do get that, but I understand. I just think their best lineup is like a Chisholm, Judge, and then Soto behind Judge. However you're going to do it, Soto's got to get behind Judge one way or the other.
Yeah, I would lead either Volpe or Jazz off, but for some reason Aaron Boone doesn't want to do that. They led Gleyber off. They've led Verdugo off.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, to be honest.
I don't get it.
But yeah, I don't hate Judge batting leadoff. I really don't. But to me, it's either Jazz or it's Volpe. That's where I would go there at the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I think we were looking at that because we were trying to figure out whether or not Boone did that in 2022 to maximize his at-bats so that he could chase 61.
Right, right, to get him the most,
But after the regular season, he still did it, at least for one of those series. So I think I can't remember what the conclusion we drew was. It just seems like not the greatest maximization of Aaron Judge's RBI potential by leading him off. Now, obviously, you're only leading off once, as you said a couple of days ago, and you know what does that really mean? Ultimately, you
still not much after the first half,
right? And so, but you still got to get you still got to put him, meaning Judge, in positions where he can drive guys in. Because he is so good with contact and extra base hits and obviously hitting home runs.
Absolutely.
So you want people on base. It just makes it easier for you to put crooked numbers up.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But again, I think they want him. I think people are in that old school mentality of the leadoff hitter has to be fast. The second hitter's got to hit the right field. Your best hitter has to be third. The guy hitting fourth has to be a beer drinker, you know, ripping heaters with a pot belly. I mean, that's not really the way baseball is anymore. No. I got the guys behind the glass to laugh at that one. I go by the guys behind the glass. If they think it's funny, some guy driving on the BQE is like, yeah, it's pretty funny. I don't like Loogie, but that one was funny. But Teak, it's not, you know, it's not 1998 anymore. It's not. So lineups are different now. We've seen power hitters. I think Alonso's hit up in the top of the order, so it wouldn't be crazy. Even Aaron Boone said he's contemplating flipping Soto and Judge in the order, so he's thought about moving Judge up a little bit. It's just about maximizing your at-bats with your best hitters. Right. That's where baseball is at in the modern day.
Right. If those two guys are getting on base consistently, Soto and Judge, you want to put the better contact hitter behind. And so that's why you think about it. Because Soto's always going to be very judicious in how he approaches at-bats.
Yes.
Sometimes frustratingly so, but
very patient.
I think ultimately it wouldn't hurt. It'd be interesting to see it.
Yeah, and we'll see if they do that for sure. And we'll talk about the Yankees more. Craig and Susan, obviously. Game rained out tonight. Doubleheader tomorrow. You can hear it on the Fan. 105 first pitch tomorrow. Your single admission doubleheader, your traditional doubleheader tomorrow. Craig and Susan, also Sunday. Rangers, 3-game set here. You'll hear it all on the Fan. We will get into the Mets, of course. Pete Alonso, Aaron Rodgers. There's a thought that Tiki has that I have not heard anywhere, so we will also discuss that as well at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki, we got you to 6:30. Loogie and Lightning here on the Fan. 3:38 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugau and Loogie, Tiki Barber, Loogie and Lightning here on Evan and Tiki. Going to 6:30. Now, as far as the Mets goes, and as you know, I am positive, Tommy, banging the drum of positivity, the leader of Met fans, the positive light here in the storm. Teak, when the Mets lost 2 out of 3 this weekend in Anaheim, everybody said the season was over. You can't lose to bad teams. The season's over. Then they and I told you they'd go out and they'd beat St. Louis on Monday. They did just that.
Yep.
Then they lose the first game of the series against Colorado, and the people that say, oh, you can't lose to bad teams, you can't lose to bad teams, police told me, oh, season's over. And I said, relax, everything's going to be fine. The Mets go out and win the next two. They win the series. Atlanta continues their free fall. And right now, if the season ended today, the Mets would be playing October baseball.
Don't you love that saying? If the season ended today.
Well, I just used it. Of course I love it. Yeah, no.
The Giants would be in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The season ended today. No, you're right. There's still a lot of season left. Was it 40-something, 47 games or something?
So there's 175 games still left.
I know. It feels like it. 40-something games left. 48, whatever the number is.
And that's been my point, though, Teak. And you agree with me. That's the best part of this with this stuff with me and Teak with the baseball is that how could the season be over in early August?
There's
2 months of baseball left. And everybody's been up and down. Arizona, yeah, they're hot. Could Arizona win the division? I could see that. The Dodgers have a lot of injuries. Maybe they go out and win the division. The Padres have been hot. But the Braves now stink. The Phillies have been playing bad. Everybody's basically been up and down. Give me the one team, maybe Cleveland, that's been consistent all year. It's an up and down year. Everybody is basically in the same boat. So that's why I've said remain calm. The Mets are as good as any of these other teams. The Mets will be playing October baseball. Don't make any vacation plans. fans, and they have rewarded my positivity by not letting go of the rope and continuing every single time it looks like they're going to slip. And I get it with Met fans. I understand the negativity. I understand thinking that it's going to be LOL Mets. The other shoe is going to drop. The whole deal. This is where we're meant to be losers forever. That's just not the case. Year to year, it's no team is cursed. There's no boogeyman. There's no jinxes. So just stop being so damn negative. This has been a fun year, whether it's the fads, whether it be Grimace, OMG, Positive Tommy, you name it. This has been a fun team to watch, a fun team to cover, and they will continue to be fun going down the stretch.
No, of course they will be fun going down the stretch, and it's just a matter of, are they going to be right going down the stretch? Are they going to be hot going down the stretch? Because I think that's what matters most. I mean, what's been proven over the last couple of years is be hot at the right time. Just get there. You have to be there. This Mets team is good enough to be there. And we all know that. We've seen it over and over and over again. They have some setbacks, but they don't follow setbacks with more setbacks. Right, they always seem to respond.
Yeah, always.
And so that's the biggest thing that matters. That's the biggest trait that matters. And unlike, say, the team like the Braves, who they have now improbably jumped into second place in the NL East, something that a month ago nobody thought was going to happen.
Braves injured, obviously.
But the injuries started to happen, right?
Yep.
And those guys aren't coming back.
Yeah, Acuña, Albies, right? it's been rough. Other than Ozuna, they basically have nothing.
Strider's done for the year as well. Yep. So, like, I know Chris Sale's been phenomenal.
He's been amazing.
But like, do they have enough? I would think not.
And I would think
that
not.
That bodes well for the Mets.
Yeah.
And so the issue for the Mets is not trying to be the best team in baseball all the time. It's just be there and be hot at the right time. That's what matters most.
And that's what I've been saying all along, is that just get to October. Nobody had the Diamondbacks in the World Series last year. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And maybe there's a positive Joey in Arizona that had it, but nobody around here, nobody around baseball had that. Phillies a couple years ago. The Mets just basically toyed with the Phillies a couple years ago. I remember that August series where the Phillies were basically stumbling all over themselves. The Mets were on pace, so they were going to go on to win 100 games, whatever. And if I had told you that the Mets would be the ones going home early and the Phillies would be in the World Series, you would have never believed me. So baseball right now, the modern day baseball, get in, get hot. That's number one. And number two, the Mets have to. It is imperative, I will scream this from a mountaintop, to be a organization, a franchise that gets to October year in and year out. If you want Juan Soto on your team next year, if you want future free agents on your team.
Are you thinking about that right now?
I'm thinking about overall. I use Juan Soto as an example just because he's
the example, because he's the guy this year.
I'm not saying he's not going to sign with the Yankee fans. Don't worry. All I'm saying is Juan Soto types in the future. The Mets have a lot of money, but so do the Dodgers. So do the Orioles. So do the Yankees. So do the Phillies. So do the Braves. There's a lot of teams. Toronto. Teams want to spend. Everybody's going to be in on Juan Soto.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make Citi Field, Queens, the Mets, a spot that is sexy for free agents to get here, you have to build the brand. Now, it's going to be tough to get to the Yankees, even though the Mets are the big brother. Now, of course, we know that 4 wins to the Yankees, 0 losses this season. That's being said, you got to build a brand. And winning year in, year out, and being a winner, Teak, money combined with a chance to win, you will get the Juan Soto types to want to come here.
I wonder sometimes what comes first. Is it the brand or is it the winning?
The winning. That's what comes from.
And I think you're right. But then how do you build the winner if you don't have consistent enough stars?
So part of that is developing. You see it now with Alvarez, with Vientos. You already have Lindor.
Right. You got to build them up and then have them live up to it.
Look what the Yankees did. I know they brought in some guys, but you think about Jeter and you think about Bernie and you think about Posada, the core four. And then they brought in guys.
Right.
And stuff
but that
like
core
that.
Four. You heard about them.
Homegrown.
You heard about them.
Yeah.
And then they lived up to it.
Right.
So if that happens, then I think it creates a generation of interest in a team. It's one thing to bring in, I don't know, a Cespedes or somebody like that who's exciting and interesting. But if he ends up falling off like he does, you're pissed off about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's just a blip in the radar here. This doesn't really matter. He didn't like make this organization. He didn't contribute to the brand of the organization, what it comes down to. So I think it is an advantage that the Mets have. Because when you've said this multiple times, you keep bringing it up, and you're right about this as well. When you have to build a brand in sports, you have to be known for something. We know what the Yankees are known for because of all the championships.
Just ask. They'll tell you.
Right. But also developing guys like Aaron Judge.
Yep.
So we know what the Yankees brand is, or it was, and probably still is. But
definitely still
right,
is.
Right. We don't really know what the Mets brand is yet. But I think guys like Alvarez, even like Vientos, are starting to change that brand because
100%.
They're developing young players.
Yep.
And they're producing
mm-hmm.
pretty consistently. So it's I think it's probably the hardest thing to do in sports, especially if you haven't developed an established superstar. It's really hard to make your brand known. Otherwise, people just kind of look at your win-loss record and judge you based on whether you had a good streak or a bad streak. If you have a good streak, you're like, oh, yeah, you guys are pretty good. You have a bad streak, you guys suck. Right? It just becomes binary. And that's not fair, but that's the reality of not having an established brand yet.
Right. And you brought like Vientos, Alvarez, obviously, Jet Williams, Acuna, mm-hmm. they have other guys on the way. It's about establishing that brand. That's why when Steve Cohen bought this team and the Mets were no longer going to shop on the clearance rack, they no longer had the Wilpons, it was about building a brand, right. Whether that means building up around Citi Field, whether that means spending more money,
right.
Being a consistent winner. This is for the younger generation out there. There was a time in this town where the Yankees were bad.
Yeah.
They did not draw. I know that seems unreal to think. Now they have 40,000 a night there. They packed. Why? Because they've been a consistent winner for year in and year out. That doesn't mean winning World Series, but that means if I go to a Yankee game tonight, I am likely to see a great player in Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm likely to see a win. They win 90-something games every year. I'm likely to see a winner. The Mets, I'm 38. Like I said, I'll be 39 this month. Send me money, please. I haven't seen them in the please send me money. I haven't been in the postseason. My wife has an Amazon addiction. I mean, they're there every single day. We could certainly use the help. Now, they have not been in October baseball a lot in my lifetime. So it means something as a fan for them to get there. And it means even more to the organization to establish themselves, to be that a team that wins year in and year out. Because for those of you that don't think it could happen, there would have been a lot of, if we had sports talk radio back in the day, which we did, I know that, but they would have been like, oh, this Yankee team, they'll never win with George. They'll never turn it around. Yep. They're a mess. They're this, they're that. And now look where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're fine.
Yeah.
They're
more than fine. Absolutely. So that's what I want the Mets to be. And what better time than the present? This team, a team that nobody besides me thought would win, a team that everybody thought was punting on the year,
mm-hmm.
a team that everybody left behind when they were, whatever, 10, 11 Funny. Games under 500.
Yeah, because I don't think I was saying they were punting. I just thought they were evaluating. I thought this team was just, let's just see what we have. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the real question about the Mets.
Yeah.
No matter, you're positive Tommy right now. Everything is not all roses, but, you know, it's mostly roses popping up in the garden. There's some thorns around that bush, but it's mostly roses.
Tons of roses.
Is this team, in your estimation, a World Series team?
Yes, yes.
And so I think that's where I'm not there yet. I don't know if this team is a World Series team yet. And again, that's not their fault. It's just, it's the reality of what's exists. And just forget just, you know, Major League Baseball
mm-hmm.
as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the National League. I mean, the Phillies are scuffling, or had been scuffling for a little bit, but
for a pretty good amount of time,
right?
Team.
For a month,
yeah, that's
but
what I mean.
They're
bad.
Still the Phillies,
okay?
Right? The Dodgers are.
Well, what Philly are they? Are they this Philly team, or are they the team that started the year?
Look,
Dodgers are banged
look,
up. Too.
I give the Phillies the benefit of the doubt,
okay.
Like I did the Yankees, who had their little month of whatever they were doing, middling right below 500. But the Dodgers are still the Dodgers. You know what I mean? And as much as we, I don't know. We want to hate on the Brewers. The Brewers are pretty damn good this year. So are the Mets bottom of that list? No, they're probably somewhere in the middle. But I don't know if they're the best team in baseball. So I can say, yeah, this is a good story. They can get hot at the mm-hmm. right time. But getting to the postseason and win a World Series, that's just another leap that I haven't seen yet.
The reason I say that, besides being obviously positive, Tommy, is the Mets were the best team in baseball in June. How many teams across Major League Baseball, can raise your hands if you're one of them, can say that they were the best team for an entire month?
Mm.
That's the potential of this team, and that's, to me, forget the ceiling, that's what I think they could be because they showed it throughout a month, which is a very, very long time. So that's why I believe the Mets are going places, which is, I've been telling you that all year. Ray is in Westchester. What's up, Ray?
Listen, I love you guys. Loogie, Tiggy, you're great. But for a few days, you guys, not you and fan guys, I've been calling the Yankees. The Mets, the big brother of the Yankees.
Yeah. No, Tommy's doing
Mets,
that.
The Mets will,
Tommy's
they will
doing
never
that.
Be the big brother of the Yankees.
What? Can you tell me? Hold on a second.
Tommy's only doing that, Ray, because of the Subway Series, the sweep of the
I know
the
that.
Two Subway Series.
I know, but the Subway Series, if they're interleague play, it's crap. It's crap baseball.
How is it crap baseball? Wait. Let's back up the truck here.
Well,
how is that crap baseball?
From a Yankees perspective, Ray, and I'm a Yankee fan like you, it was crap for us, though, because they got
destroyed. J.D. Davis batting cleanup.
It was. When I say crap baseball, it means nothing to me during the season.
Yeah.
I want divisional games. I want that national. I want that American League East championship. Those are the games that matter.
And you should. And you should. And Ray, you know what? You should want that. But the bottom line is 4 Mets, 0 Yankees, and you played Sinatra as I was leaving, and I was skipping, and I was high-fiving. What?
Loogie.
What?
All the Mets were the baby brother of the group, just going through puberty, smacking them a little bit. Where the big brother said, oh, wow, you know, he's getting some strength this time. But they're never a threat. They're never
a threat. We just beat you 4 out of 4 games. And you know what? Yeah, Mets were the little brother. But sometimes, Teak, you know this. I mean, you have a twin, and one of you is 15 seconds older than the other. I don't know which one.
7 minutes, Rondé.
7 minutes is Rondé. So Tiki's the little brother. From where I'm sitting, Tiki's the big brother. All right, so sometimes the little brother lives long enough to be the big brother. And that's what we're dealing with here, all right? 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Evan and Tiki, we got you till 6:30 here on The Fan. Plenty more of your time for your calls. On the Mets, we will get into Pete Alonso. We will get into the Yankees. Craig and Susan are calling the games this weekend. Doubleheader tomorrow. Tiki's got an Aaron Rodgers take that you guys are going to really be interested in this one. That'll be coming up as well. 5 o'clock, we got a Cinco de 5-0. All of that right here on The Fan.